right. Very good. The folks that just came in, did everybody get a prayer list? There is a new format for the prayer list now on Wednesday nights. It's front and back. Did anybody not get one? You did not get one. Okay. Who can have Brother Bragg will help somebody on this side. If somebody over here could grab them and help us pass them out, one of you guys could jump up and help. Brother Frank, somebody could help us. I would appreciate it. If you didn't get one, raise your hand. I want you to have one tonight because there is a new format. On the back of it, you will see at the very bottom that we do have the outline for tonight's lesson. And it's not one of those fill-in-the-blank for 20 different things like we used to have, but just a few that you want to have. Plus, it has the pictures of the missionaries that we're highlighting to pray for. Athan Zingri will be leaving for his first semester of Bible college this Saturday. So this is his last service with us. And so be sure and if you think of it, wish him well as he leaves out tonight. He leaves a big hole because he's very active for the Lord's work here on Sunday. And I appreciate that. As a young man, he's jumped in and been a big help, as has his brother Ethan and Jenna, and just appreciate him so much. So Brother Athan will be leaving to go to school this Saturday. Matthew chapter 6, find that passage. If you didn't already, you have the text there on your prayer list on the back side. And I want to speak, like it says there, on the subject for the next several weeks, how to pray when you pray. That's going to be the topic of my lessons for a few weeks here. I'm going to try to jump right into our theme for this year and teach some lessons on the subject of prayer. All right, let's pray. Father, thank you for the privilege to be here Wednesday night, the good crowd. I pray that you would bless us now as we look into your word. Give us clarity of thought. And Lord, I imagine that most everything that will be said tonight will have already been heard by everybody here. Maybe something new for some, but most of it's just old information. It's truth, and truth is relevant. It never is old. It's always new. It's fresh. So I pray that you'll help us tonight. We'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. And amen. I have believed for many years that if God's people know how to pray, it makes praying a bit easier. I might have said on Sunday night, if I didn't, I meant to, that I don't know of any discipline in the Christian life that Satan fights harder than the discipline of prayer. I think somebody here not long ago in a service, maybe it was Brother Ben, one of his lessons, or maybe it was a visitor or what, you know, said, it's, you know, God's people usually, for the most part, they get reading the Bible down. But it's that what happens after we read the Bible. It's that prayer time that God's people seem to struggle with. I would like to think that there are very few born-again believers who have the attitude of, I don't care at all about praying. I wouldn't think that would be the attitude of any true born-again person. But it's that knowledge of how to pray, what to say. I think I did a lesson here years ago on what to say when you pray. It's that knowledge of, well, what do I talk to the Lord about? And really, it shouldn't be that way. We talk to our spouse about things. We talk to our children, our parents about things. And God is a person. He's a being. And we just talk to God. But there are some lessons in the Bible that Jesus gave and others that teach us how to pray when we pray. And let me just say, first of all, which is not part of the outline, the number one element in praying is desire. That's what the booklet, our verse for the year, Mark chapter 11 and verse number 24. When ye pray, whatsoever things ye desire, whatsoever things ye desire. That's where it begins. I believe the order of that verse is proper, all right? It's important. So there needs to be a desire to pray in order for a person to pray. And that's, again, the prayer last year was that the Word of God would draw nearer and dearer to the hearts of people here in this church as we emphasized the magnified Word, gave some things to implement to hopefully draw your heart closer to the Bible. And the same thing now about the matter of prayer, okay? I hope that when the year ends, people say, you know what, I had a better prayer life this year than I had last year or previous years. Prayer is an expectation that God has from His children. It's an expectation. God wants to meet with us more than we want to meet with Him. And He expects us to pray. Look at verse 5, okay? I'm not going to read the entire verse right now, but in verse number 5, He says, and when thou prayest. And in verse number 6, again, when thou prayest. And in verse number 7, when ye pray. So, you know, three times. Jesus never said, if you pray. It's when you pray. When you pray. When you pray. So in these verses, Jesus teaches us something about this matter of praying, and he expects his children to talk to him in what we know as the discipline or exercise of prayer. So let's go over this, the do nots and the do's real quick. There's four of them. First of all, do not pray to be seen or heard of men for the sake of impression. Do not pray to be seen or heard of men for the sake of impression. Look at verse number 5. And when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily, I say unto you, they have their reward. Now, before I talk much about what Jesus said not to do here, let me say it's important to note that Jesus was not condemning public praying. And how do we know that? Well, in his earthly ministry, there were many times that Jesus prayed publicly. He lifted his voice and prayed publicly in front of people. It's the motive that Jesus is after in this verse. Prayers that are made for the purpose of being seen of men have an immediate reward. You know what that reward is? Somebody saw you pray. Somebody saw you make a speech. Somebody saw you go through an exercise that had no heart in it. And Jesus said, okay, that if that's what you prayed for, you got what you prayed for. You made an impression, that's it. You know, what an eternal, too bad that men cannot answer the prayer or give any eternal reward for praying. So that's it. You got the reward for your prayer if you prayed to make an impression on men. Now, this would also include praying to be heard of men, not just seen of men, but heard of men. Seen of men, heard of men goes along the same lines, because prayer involves talking to God, whether you're talking out loud or whether you're talking silently. Praying out loud to be heard of men has the same immediate reward. Good for you. Somebody heard you pray. Now, look, prayer is an exercise that can be done on behalf of people, but not for the purpose of gaining notoriety with people. That's not the purpose of praying. The purpose of praying is not to be seen or heard of men. Now, there are times when public prayer should be done to be heard of men. I remember one time I was at the hospital. I was at St. Mary's. I can't remember who I was there to visit, but it was a male. It was a man in the church. And I was in the room, and the room was it was not a private room. There was somebody on the other side of the curtain. And, you know, shame on me. I didn't. A lot of times I'll engage with the other person. Nowadays, when you go to the hospital, 90% of the time, people are in a private room. Used to be it wasn't that way. And, or you know, normally I would engage the person in the other bed to try to witness to him or find out what's going on. But this time I didn't. The curtain was drawn. And I said, okay, we visited for a while. And then I said, okay, now I want to pray for you. And I prayed a public prayer out loud to be heard of the person that was in the bed, okay, so that they could hear what I was praying, asking God to do for them. When I said amen, the voice on the other side of the curtain said, amen, Reverend, don't forget me. And I walked over behind the curtain, and there was a black man laying in bed, and I don't remember his name. That's been years and years ago, and I talked with him, asked if he was saved, and yes, he was. He gave a testimony of being saved. What's the deal? He told me what the deal was, and so I said, okay, let's have prayer, and he appreciated that. Now, in that instance, praying to be heard of the man that I went to visit was hopefully not only a blessing to him, but it was a blessing to that man in the other bed, so much so that he wanted me to include him in the prayer, all right? But if the prayer is for the purpose of impressing people, then the impression is the reward. I don't know about you, but that's a pretty small reward. Just an impression to make on somebody. You know, I remember John Rice, I think I've told this story in here before, in the days of the citywide crusades. And they would have other churches in town participating, and John Rice would have the pastors of those churches sit on the platform with him. And he preached a message on salvation. I think it was in the Dallas, Texas area. And the place was packed, full of adults. And when he got to the end of his message and gave the invitation and asked if you don't know for sure that you're on your way to heaven, not sure that you're saved, he said in his book, he said there were at least 50 hands that were raised. At least 50 adults raised their hands that they weren't sure they were saved. And he turned to one of the pastors that was sitting on the platform and said, "Pastor so-and-so, would you please come and word our invitation prayer?" And the pastor got up there, and, "O thou God of all heaven that sittest upon the throne," and all this and all that, and went on and on, "and we thank thee for thou creation, and thank thee that thou hast said in thy word in Jeremiah 33:3, call upon me and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. And this verse says this, and this scripture reference, and thank thee for this verse," and on and on. And John Rice said you could sense the Holy Spirit just... He gave the invitation. Not one person responded. Not one. They said about John Rice that he was the sweetest man that ever slit anybody's throat. That's what he was known as. And so after all the shaking hands and everything was done, he went to that pastor, John Rice. He put his glasses down like this on his nose a little bit, and he kind of looked over his glasses. And oh, now he talked like this when he preached. He said, "My brother, oh, quite an impressive prayer you made a little while ago at the invitation time. Even God gave the references so he could look them up in his Bible." And the guy got mad and angry. He said, "I wasn't praying for those to give those references to God. I was praying them for the people." And John Rice said, "To whom do you pray?" Praying to God for the benefit of a person laying in a hospital bed is one thing. Praying to people, in front of people, to make an impression, enjoy it. When they leave and go, "What a prayer." That's your reward. I don't know about you, but there are things I'm praying for right now that I need more than just an impression. Okay? So that's what Jesus is teaching here, okay? Jesus taught us not to pray to be seen or heard of men for self-gain. Not for self-gain, to be seen or heard of men for self-gain. All right, now, number two, he taught us, do pray in private to be seen and heard of your Father. All right? So look at that's in verse number 6. "But thou," you're different than the hypocrites, "when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly." So Jesus gives some clear instruction as to how to pray so that there will be reward from God. God will reward, God will deliver, he will render to us the answer to our prayers if we pray to be seen and heard of him. Now, the answer may not always be what we want it to be. Sometimes we don't get the answer we're looking for. But at least we'll get an answer. And an answer is better than an impression on a person. All right? Now, here's the instructions that Jesus gave when he told us to pray to be seen and heard of our Father which is in heaven. First of all, he said, enter into a private place. Enter into a private place. You see that in verse number 6. When thou prayest, enter into thy closet. Now, by the way, I almost pointed this out a moment ago when I was reading that verse. Remember that the King James pronouns thy and thou are singular pronouns. Did you notice how many thys are in verse, and thous are in verse number 6? But thou, when thou enter into thy, when thou shut thy door, pray thy Father, and thy Father reward thee. You know what that's teaching us, folks? The instruction that Jesus is giving here is not some just generic, throw it out there. It's singular. It is for me. It is for you. It is for each one of us singularly, all right? Thy, thou. So each one of us should have a private place to pray. Enter into, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet. Now for some, that's very easy because you live alone, so it's easy to pray in private. Or all the kids are gone. It's just you and your spouse. And you know what a private place can be? A private place can be a chair. A private place can be a seat at your table, a bench swing on the back porch, or kneeling beside your couch, or kneeling beside your bed, or some place where you are, for the most part, alone. For others who live in a very busy house, it could be a place in the house that's less used. You know, modern closets today are big enough for people to enter into and pray. They really are. And that's a good place, a closet, a room in the basement that's not in constant use, or some other place in the house that is private. You know, when Jesus was with the disciples, there were times that he left them and went up on a mountain alone to pray. So his private place was a mountain. I remember being at Providence, and I was trying to remember when this was, if it was when I got there very late one evening or when I got up very early one morning. I can't remember, and was walking through the atrium and was walking by some of the rooms that are there, and they have the Oliver B. Green Library. They have Oliver B. Green gave his son gave Oliver B. Green's library to the college, and I just happened to pass by, and there was a very, very low light. It was very dimly lit. And I looked in there, and here was a college boy, a boy from Wisconsin, on his knees beside the table in the Oliver B. Green Library. It was either very early in the morning or very late at night, and it was obvious he was praying. Now, it's hard to find a private place in a college. It's always something going on, people coming and going all up. He got guys working all hours of the night, coming in and so forth and so on. But this young man found a time and a place where he could go and get alone. And that's what Jesus is teaching here. Enter into a private place alone. Just get by yourself, all right? Then he said this. He said, shut out distractions. So enter into thy closet, watch it, verse 6, and when thou hast shut thy door. So shut out distractions. Now, if that's best done by closing a door, getting in a little room or area and closing the door, then do it. You know, just shut out the distractions. You may not have to go into a little room and close the door. You know, this kind of praying, in my opinion, is difficult to do while driving, because while you're driving, you're supposed to be paying attention to what's going on around you. Or sitting outside where your attention can be interrupted by, you know, it can be interrupted by what's going on around you. It's certainly not possible with the television blaring. Certainly not possible with the radio and the phone going off. It is the place where we are least likely to be distracted by things going on around us. So Jesus said, when you pray, don't pray to be seen and heard of men, to make an impression on them, because that's your reward. But if you want to be rewarded in the real way, the way you need to be rewarded, you find a private place and get away from as many distractions as you possibly can. I've told the illustration before about the boy in the large family, multiple siblings, grew up on the farm, and it wasn't praying that he wanted to do. He just wanted some peace and quiet. Which is hard to get in a family with multiple children. It's hard to get peace and quiet in the house. And so he would go out to the barn. They had a hayloft, a haymow, and had a wooden ladder. It was not attached to anything. They used it to climb up in the haymow. Some of you that have been around farms, you know exactly what I'm talking about. I've been up many of those on my father-in-law's farm and my neighbor's farm doing hay a couple times in the summer. And this boy would go out to the barn, and he would climb up the ladder into the haymow to get by himself. But then he was very wise. You know what he did? He pulled the ladder up after him. You know what that did? That shut out all those younger siblings that make all kind of noise and distractions. Shut them up. They couldn't get up there. That's what Jesus is teaching here. He's teaching, look, get yourself a quiet place. Get yourself a place where you can shut out, you know, if not all, 99% of the distractions. People, God wants us to meet him as he meets us. Now, I want you to think about the phrase, pray to thy Father, which is in secret. Look at it in verse 6. When thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father, which is in secret. You say, wait a minute. Our Father is in heaven, seated on his throne, and in heaven there's all the angels, and every time a soul gets saved on earth, there's rejoicing in the presence of God, right? Is there a chance that when you go to prayer, somebody somewhere might get saved? And there might be rejoicing in the presence of God when you pray? How is God, how is that secret? How is God in secret? How is God, if he's on his throne, there's angels, there's people who've already gone to glory, and there's music in heaven, how is God in secret? People remember that God is one of the last things, one of the lesser things that we talk about, one of his attributes. We talk about his omniscience. We talk about his omnipotence. We don't talk about his omnipresence. He's everywhere. All the time. At the same time. Now, you and I, yeah, okay, that's okay. We can't comprehend that because we are fixed in a mortal, finite existence. But God is not. And we can't wrap our minds completely around that. We don't have to comprehend it in order to believe it. Jeremiah 23:24. Listen carefully. Can any hide himself in secret places that I shall not see him, saith the Lord? Duh. That's an obvious answer, right? No way, Jose. Do not I fill heaven and earth, saith the Lord? So while God is on his throne, God is filling heaven and God is filling earth. If a person goes into a private place to hide from God, God is there seeing and listening. Yes? Yes. If a person goes into a private place to be with God, who is there seeing and listening? God is. Pray to thy Father, which is in... Folks, I was getting ready for this, and there's just things that pop out of this book all the time that just, they never get... When I go to my private place, he's there. Waiting. What about the mornings that I don't go to my private place? God is in secret, but I'm not. Pray to thy Father, which is in, when I am in my private place, God is, I don't feel anything. Doesn't matter what you feel. It matters what this book says. Okay? And then another blessing from this kind of praying is that God never tells secrets. How many of us have ever been afraid to tell somebody something because it was kind of secretive and we didn't want them to tell somebody else? Did you ever tell somebody a secret only to have them almost immediately go and tell somebody? I can go into my private place and my Father is already in secret. When I go in secret, he's there. And I can tell him the secrets of my heart that I wouldn't want anybody else to know with the full assurance. He's not going to go blab it to anybody. That's a pretty good deal. That's a pretty good deal. That's a blessing. He'll never share that secret. Now, I think what God may do is he may lay something from the Bible on a pastor's heart to preach or teach that speaks directly to your secret with God. I thought you weren't going to tell anybody. Sometimes it takes instruction from the scripture to meet the secret things of our heart. That's why God gives us instructors, teachers and preachers. Yeah, preach on this. He's been talking to me about it, and I'm not going to tell anybody. The pastor doesn't know who. It's just, preach on that? Okay. Why am I preaching on this? I don't know why I'm preaching on this. I'm just preaching on this because it got in my heart and God drew my attention to it. And then you preach it and somebody comes up and goes, you been following me around? God may, God may give what you need out of the scripture to some pastor or teacher to preach or teach, but he will never pass it on with the intentions of hurting you. Never. Never, never, never. Now look, in today's world, the distractions are multiple. I gotta move on because I want to finish it. So it's important to be in a place where the distractions are shut out, even if it's just for a few minutes. Oh, wait, listen, folks. I am not saying that you cannot pray driving down the road. God help me. Amen. I mean, you ever prayed that prayer driving down the road, getting some ice, black ice or something? Yeah. I'm not saying you can't do that. I'm not saying you can't even share the secret things of your heart with God while you're driving. God is, when we're in communion with Him, God listens, okay? But there's something about that secret place. Your Father, which is in secret, He's waiting for that time when He will have our full attention. All there? Number three, another knot. Do not pray with empty, repetitious words. Look at verse number 7. But when ye pray, use not vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. So notice that praying with repetition is not condemned. Folks, like praying in public is not condemned. You can't just throw out everything, the baby with the bathwater. No. Do you know that in the Garden of Gethsemane, before His crucifixion, listen to this verse. Matthew 26, 44. Now listen, you know the setting, right? Peter, James, and John are there, right? And Jesus says, watch and pray, right? And then He goes away. And He left them and went away again and prayed the third time, saying the same words. Was Jesus guilty of vain repetition? Absolutely not. He said the same words. Luke's gospel tells us that He prayed that third time more earnestly. So there was no emptiness in the words of His prayer. Rather, it was with great emotion. Vain repetition is the saying of Hail Marys, the chanting of the Buddhist monks. It's the false prophets on Mount Carmel. Oh, Baal, hear us from morning to noon, 6 hours. Oh, Baal, hear us. Oh, Baal, hear us. Vain repetition is that which is memorized and then quoted without the engaging of the heart. Look, someone said praying is the work of the soul, not just the tongue. It should engage our mind and our emotions. And I'm going to say Baptists are just as guilty of vain repetition as they recite the model prayer word for word with no thoughts of what the words mean. None whatsoever. I pray with repetition. I'm sure some of you do. I prayed this morning in the staff prayer meeting what I pray on every morning sitting in my recliner. Lord, thank You for the life and breath and health to get out of bed today. I pray that. And I want you to know something. I mean that. Because there are a lot of friends my age who are not doing well physically. I appreciate the health that comes from His hand. And I plan on thanking Him tomorrow morning if I get out of bed. If I don't, I plan on thanking Him again. He's not condemning repetition. What He's condemning is repetitive, monotonous, no heart. Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Thy kingdom come, while you're reaching for your beer. That's what He's talking about, okay? Matthew Henry said, lip labor in prayer, though ever so well labored, if that be all, is but lost labor. If it's just lip service, folks, not going anywhere with God. And He can see your heart and mine. Lastly, number four, I like this. Pray asking, not advising. Look at verse number 8. Be not ye therefore like unto them, these that pray vain repetition. For your Father knoweth what things ye have need of before ye ask Him. By the way, that's a great verse that teaches us prayer is asking. Because He said in verse 7, when you pray, and then He said in verse number 8, He knoweth what things you have need of before you ask Him. Prayer is asking. That's John R. Rice's great, great book that he wrote, the name of the book. Now listen, when we pray, we are not advising the Lord of something of which He is not aware. Oh, by the way, God, let me clue you in. That's not, all right? When we pray, we ask for things that the Lord already knows we need. Are you going to take his foreknowledge away from him? By the way, Mr. Calvinist, I got no problem with God's foreknowledge. God knows every person in the world if they will be saved or if they will stay lost. God knows that. You cannot take that away from God. But he doesn't determine that. But he knows it. And he knows, and so the question that some always ask, well, if God already knows what we need, then why do we have to ask him? People, what God is looking for when we pray is us owning our need of him. Even though we know, he already knows, we know it is good for us to own the fact that we can't take care of this need without him. The people we prayed for tonight with cancer, God knows how it's all going to end. Doesn't he? Sure he does. But I need to reach out and grab him by the hem of the garment and say, please help me. Please help this person. Please help that person. That is what we admit when we pray. Father, I know you already know I have this need, but I need to be reminded that without you, I can do nothing. And I need to own the fact that I need you. I need you forever. That's why I thank him for life and breath and health and the physical and mental ability to live and move and have my being. I don't have that without him. When children need something, they don't come to their parents with lengthy, wordy requests. They come with sincerity, acknowledging that without dad and mom, they can't get what they need. So it is with our prayers. We're coming to our Father to admit that without you, we're hopeless. And we are. And you better nail that down. Get off your high horse. Whether you've had some kind of success in life, without him, we can do zip. That's the Angel Standard Version. Nothing. Zip. You believe that? Then you don't mind asking him for things he already knows you need. Because it's owning the truth. I can't do this without you. I can't do this without you. So we just have some lessons here on the subject of praying, because it's not if we pray, it's when we pray. God expects us to. So don't pray to be seen and heard of men for the sake of making an impression. Don't pray in private to be seen and heard of your Father, which is in secret. He's in the secret place. He's waiting in the secret place. So I need to get there, because he's there. Don't pray with empty, repetitious words. And when we pray, we ask. We're not advising. We're asking. I hope this changes us. Not just one lesson, but this whole year with the emphasis. Take that little booklet home and find. And folks, I don't have an hour. You don't need an hour. You need 5 minutes. Oh, yeah, 30 would be much better. But 5 minutes, you got 5 minutes to meet him in the secret place where he already is waiting? Come on. Let's pray together. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Give a brief invitation in just a minute. But I wonder tonight, Would you like to better your prayer life? I'm not going to ask this question. If I was to ask this question, how many of you would admit that when it comes to the discipline and exercise of prayer, I really need help? I would imagine that hands would go up all over this room, and mine would too. Because Satan fights it more than he fights anything else. It's like no problem. Sit down and read the Bible for chapter after chapter after chapter. But to pray 10 minutes with bombardment from hell? Why is that, people? Because Satan knows the power that's there. So I wonder tonight if God spoke to your heart. You just got to get started. Find a private place. You know, it doesn't have to be a closet. Just a quiet place. Shut out the distractions. Don't make a big scene before men. And when you pray to him, you're acknowledging that you need him, even though he knows what you need, what you're asking for in advance. Father, help us. You so long for us to think that you're in that secret place waiting for us to arrive there to meet with you. Lord, help us to be disciplined in this area. I pray for myself. I pray for every man, woman, young person in the room tonight. Help us, I pray, in this area. Teach us to pray as John taught his disciples. Thank you for what you put in your book about the subject of prayer. Heads are bowed. Let's stand together. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. And then we'll give the invitation tonight.